So anyway, I was talking about T-ball. At T-ball, we were always careful to say to the kids, now, remember, we're not keeping score. There's no score. Everybody's a winner. Remember those days? And we'd get in the car, and then what's the first thing they said? We killed them. I said, no, we don't keep score. Oh, yeah, we kept score. Because they knew the score, there just wasn't an official score. And we kind of taught young people that everybody's a winner, right? Everybody gets a trophy, everybody's a winner. And that carries forward, though. And I want to read to you something that came out in the Washington Post this week. A high school teacher in Montgomery County, Maryland, which is one of the largest school districts in the nation, wrote this anonymously to the newspaper, and he said, I can't give you my name because there would be repercussions at my school, or my job would be in jeopardy if I told you, my name. But here's what he said. He said the district has told teachers they can only give a zero for an assignment if they can document their efforts to contact the parent about the problem. Otherwise, the teachers have to follow the district's new rule, part of a nationwide grading reform, that even a totally missed assignment still gets 50%. I got some teacher friends over here. Crazy, huh? Totally missed assignment. And the teacher said, if I teach 6 periods with 30 people in every class, I don't have time to contact every parent and tell them, hey, your kid's not keeping up. He said, so I'm handing out 50% to people who haven't done a thing. Another teacher added this comment. She said, as a parent of children in the district, I don't like the idea that we're deluding ourselves and students into the idea that they're something they're not. We as a school system are teaching a value to our students, that you can do nothing and still get something. And when these people go to college and out into life, this is going to present a problem. It's true, isn't it? It's true. But you see, it's not just in school. This is something that actually is not a new problem. It's something Jesus confronted in a parable. This is inherent in mankind, and an issue that he wanted to confront because it's God's plan and purpose for us that we live a productive and successful life. But there are forces that work within us to keep us from that, and he wanted us to see that. So if you'll turn in your Bible to Matthew, the 25th chapter, we're going to pick it up at the 14th verse. This is a very famous parable, but I hope today you can get some new insights from it. And here's how it reads. It said, Jesus is speaking. It says, again, it will be. And what's he talking about? He's talking about the kingdom. He says, it will be. The kingdom will be. He says, the kingdom will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability, then went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went home and put his money to work and gained 5 more. Also, the one with 2 talents gained 2 more, but the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 talents brought another, entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. The man who had been given 2 talents also came, and he said, Master, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has had, have will be taken from him. Throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is a story about two winners and one loser. And even me saying that sounds somewhat offensive, doesn't it? We don't say winners and losers. But there's a harsh reality of life here that Jesus points out, that in life there will be those who succeed and those who horribly fail. It's not popular, but true. And here is a very important truth. God wants you to succeed. This is why Jesus took the time and effort to preach this. He says, I want you to succeed. The characters in here are, of course, God, who is the owner, the servants, which are us. The context that Jesus told this parable, actually, it follows last week's parable. And I told her I wasn't going to preach on a successive series here, but I do need to mention this. Last week, we talked about how the wise virgins were watching for the return. And now he goes right on to talk about how to be that kind of wise person, to how to live that way. So let's look at the story. We'll break it down here a little bit. First of all, he entrusted them with these very valuable assets. In verse 14 and 15, it said, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. He gave them talents. Now, this word talent comes from the Greek word talenton, which means literally something that is weighed, having intrinsic value. So it had value because everybody recognized this value. It was gold or silver, something of great value. The expectation in this parable, of course, was that the people who received these talents would take them and multiply them on behalf of the master. But more on that in just a moment. Let's talk a little bit more about talents. Around 1300 AD, this word began to be used in the sense that we think of it today. Etymology is the study of where words come from, okay? And it's kind of easy to look at this word talent and think, talent was something we thought of, and the translators probably just used that word. That's the other way around. The Bible uses the word talent, and we have adopted it to mean something for us. As I said, around 1300 AD, this word began to indicate something that was given to a person that they could develop and use in their life, and through practice and improvement, they could become better. That's why we call it a talent today. Jesus used this example. He gave these men, or these, well, the servants, they're undoubtedly men at that time period. He gave them these talents, which was a unit of money, and he said, now I want you to use them for me, and they increased them. We have taken the word and developed it into mean that which God has put into our lives, which is an ability, and then we can increase it, practice it, hone it, make it better, so that it brings a return to the one who gave it to us. This parable is where we get the whole word talent. So people, I watch America's Got Talent. It's kind of the summer thing for me to watch, is America's Got Talent. And I'm going to tell you, nobody gets up there on America's Got Talent and just kind of does whatever comes to mind. They have practiced. They have gone over it and over it. They've become better and better at what they do, so that when they do whatever they do, it is the best possible thing they can offer. That's their hope to win. Next time you see America's Got Talent or anything like that, or when you come on Friday night and you see the people who are putting on this wonderful play on Friday night, they did not just walk in here on Friday night and go, hey, let's be in a play. Let's just see what happens. No, they've practiced their craft. They've practiced what they're doing. The worship team just didn't walk up here and say, anybody got anything they can do? You got a song in mind? No, they have practiced. They have taken that God-given seed and developed it into something that is increasing. So the treasure that was given to these men or these servants to use was given by them so that it would be growing in anticipation of the master's return. We are here on earth to do God's business till he comes back. And the King James Bible uses the phrase, we occupy. Now, occupy doesn't mean what a lot of people think it means. Occupy, you know, we might say, you know, I'm occupying my seat at the movies. I'm sitting here. That's not what occupy meant in the terms of what the scriptures mean. Occupy means to hold the place and keep it and increase it and be productive in it. You're occupying. We're doing God's business till he comes back. The talents here represent our gifts and our abilities, and they are given to us at their great value to God. Now, in the story, when Jesus said that he gave to one man five talents, you have to understand that was a lot of money. A talent equals 20 years of income. So the man who received five talents, if you took it in today's terms, if a person could make $50,000 a year, the five talents was worth $1 million. And you can do the math for others. So even the one who received one talent still received a lot. Excuse me. The man who received five talents received $5 million. The one who received only one still received $1 million to work with. The talents that are in our disposal in our lives are of greater value than anything we could naturally earn or possess. I sat down with Roger and his wife. They had us up for lunch recently, and we talked about, hey, you know, how'd you get this talent you have with the music and the guitar? And he told us about how, when he was just a little boy, started taking guitar lessons and practiced and grew and grew. That's how talents work in our lives. They're of great value. It's not just something that that we just walked into. It's something that God put a seed in. Roger has a seed in his life of musical talent. But then that developed through practice. And God has put in all of our lives a seed in order to be grown into something great. Let's talk about for a moment about how the master gave out these talents. And if you're writing notes in the back of your bulletin, here's one of the things you can write down. God gives talents proportional to our abilities. He gives us the talents in proportion. In verse 15, it says, to one he gave five talents of money, to another two, to another one, each according to his ability. If he would have given too much, it would have crushed them. If he would have given them too little, it would have taken away all their incentive. So according to what each one, he knew that they could achieve. He knew that they could make it. He knew they could succeed. He gave them those talents. The owner expected the servants to understand and act in their role. He wasn't taking a gardener and giving him $1 million and saying, now do something with it. He was taking someone who was trained in business. These servants were trained to do their work. Now, there were two responses that we see here in this story. The first response is the two of them went at once. Say, went. No, when I say went, you say went. They went. All right, now we're going to grow. They went at once. Boy, you're getting better. They went at once. All right, two of them went at once. Look at verse 16. The man who had received the five talents went at once and put his money to work and gained five more. It does not mean that he just put it in the stock market. It doesn't mean that he put it in a CD or in the bank or in an IRA. It meant that he used it to grow a business. Later, when Jesus talks, or when the master says to the man with one, he says, the least you could have done is deposited with the bankers. Didn't mean that was the preferred method. He said, you could have at least done that. But these two went at once, and they found enterprise, and they went to work. Now, the other one, the third one, I say something, you say it back, right? He went off. He didn't go to the job. He went off to do something else. Look what it says in verse 18. But the man who had received one talent went off. So we have two that went at once, and we have one that went off. He dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Maybe it's possible he felt some jealousy. that he didn't get as much as others, or maybe he felt some anger at the master. He's doing something kind of passive resistance. Yeah, you only give me one, I'm just going to bury it. Or maybe he was lazy. We'll see in a moment. But we have two outcomes as well. Two success stories, two winners. Verse number 19, it says, after a long time, now this kind of reminds you of last week's parable. The bridegroom was gone a long time. After a long time now, here we have this story. It says, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Let me break down some of the things that were said there. First of all, accounts were settled. We are going to stand before God. And what we did with our life, the Bible says, if we're going to be judged in what we did with our life, either good or bad, accounts will be settled. And one of the wonderful things to see is that rewards were handed out. When Jesus comes back, there's going to be a wonderful celebration of rewards being handed out. And he is not forgetting the good that we have done, the effort that we put in to grow the kingdom. And the motive of the master in this story is revealed in this portion. And this is often overlooked. His motive was is that he was testing his servants to see if they could go from small things to bigger things. Right now, what you are doing in your life is God's testing ground to see if you can do and be entrusted with much greater things than what you're doing right now. The master could have made money himself. He was already fabulously rich. He didn't need these servants to make him richer. He wanted to make these servants successful. And in finding the ones who could be trusted, he said, I'm going to take you from managing $5 million to managing much more. He called what they were doing little things. And I'm going to put you in charge of great things. He also wanted them to share in his joy. He said, we're going to have such a good time continuing on together, doing this work together, growing the kingdom. The same was true for the servant who had received 2. In proportion, he did just as well as the servant who received 5, and he got the same statement, the same reward, the same open door to greater things ahead. There had to be a party going on at that meeting as they were saying, this job is awesome. This is a place where I can achieve. This is where I can grow. This is where I'm recognized. This is where I have opportunities to even go further. But there was one guy standing there going, oh, this isn't looking too good. The man with 1 talent comes up. And he starts with a defense. And by the way, can I tell you something? If when you start things in your life with a defense, there's something wrong. If you have to defend your actions, you know, this is why it's going the way it is, there's something wrong. He starts by defending himself. He says, I knew that you were such a hard man. You harvest where you don't sow. You gather where you haven't scattered seed. And he said, I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. He did not fail because he had too little. He failed because of what was in him. He had been given $1 million. Surely he could have turned that into something profitable. He mischaracterized the master. He focused on him being hard and opportunistic. He said, you know what? You're just impossible to please. You make money you haven't even tried to make money. It's just not fair. You're the Jeff Bezos of the employment world, you know? I just don't like you. And he tried to paint the picture that the problem is the master. How many times do you hear yourself even say, you know what? The problem is God. He didn't treat me right. He's impossible to please. I'll never do well enough for God. I'll never get to the place that God wants me to be. And he claims that he let fear rule his actions, which is possible. Can't rule that out. He says, I was afraid. But it also could have been that he just decided to live for the moment. You know what? If I bury this, hide it well, then I can go ahead and do what I want to do because the master may be gone for years. And he was gone a long time. So this guy absolutely just did what he wanted. He chose what you might just consider the safe route. Nobody's going to find it underneath that stump where I buried it. It's going to be there forever. He looked for the safe response. And he blames his master, you others. The master, though, exposes him. Look at verse number 24. The master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. How many of you find it kind of hard to hear? Boy, that's hard to hear. Wicked and lazy. And he goes on to say, so you knew all that stuff about me, how hard I was. He says, so you should have at least put the money in the bank. I could have got, you know, at my bank, they're giving out 0.001 interest rate on my savings. I told my wife the other day some good news. I said, man, honey, this week, 17 cents. We're in for good times ahead, honey. He says, you at least could have put it in there. And then he says, take his talent away from him. Give it to somebody who's going to make something happen. You see, this man was acting wickedly. He was acting contrary to his purpose. What was he hired to do? Be a fiduciary for his master. His purpose in life was to make his master's money increase, to increase his business. He was lazy. He cared about himself, not his master. So today, let's apply this. We just have a few minutes left. It seems like these times fly by. It flies by for me. I don't know how it feels for you. It flies by for me. Let's think about us for a second here. Every one of us, as I look around this room, every person I see, and every person you're sitting next to, every person you're staring at the back of their head or whatever, those people, all of us, we have a high and noble calling before God. And he has deposited in us talent. Maybe not to sing and dance and tell jokes or play an instrument, but all of us, he has put a deposit in our life with incredibly important talents there. And that calling is something that we can't walk away from. Remember, there was one servant who went off. Oh, that's my call? Yeah, I'm going over here. He's looking for those who will go with that talent and use it for him. Paul wrote to the Philippian church, he said, I press on toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul was leaning hard into his purpose. And he was telling them that because that's what he expected of them. Let us all lean with all of our strength into the purpose that God has for us. You are not here by accident. You're not here just to make it to heaven. I used to tell people this, and I'll tell you now. If God's purpose was just for you to make heaven, the moment you said the sinner's prayer, you could have fallen over dead because that would have fulfilled your purpose. You would have gone to heaven. Or he could have raptured you or sucked you up right into heaven. Everybody who gets saved just goes straight to heaven because there's no reason for you to be on earth. No, he has a plan for you. That's why you're here. That's why we're here. That's why the church exists. That's why decades ago, people started this wonderful church. That's why 15 years ago, somebody finished this wonderful building. That's why today, you're seeking for another new pastor who's going to lead you into the next phase of wonderful things God's going to do. Because God has called Bethel Church into this community to turn this community to God. And you're not here just to mark time. We're not here just to sit on our blessed assurance. You thought I was going to say something else. That's disappointing. We are here to press the kingdom forward, to multiply the kingdom. If that man, if that servant who turned 5 into 10 and the one who turned 2 into 4 would have been given a couple more years, they would have turned their 5 into 20 and their 4 into 18. It would have gone and gone and moved and moved. We never quit. We never stop because that's the calling and the purpose of our life. God has entrusted you according to your capacity with a talent or with a group of talents. He hasn't overcommitted you. He hasn't asked too much of us. When he said, go into all the world, he didn't say, well, some of you can, but most of you probably just don't have it. No, he's entrusted all of us. And he's only given us enough that we can succeed with. He's not given us too little. He's not given us too much. Sure, there are people around who are going to go, man, their capacity, they're high capacity. Of course they are. That's great. But you have been given just the right amount for who you are to increase it for the kingdom. Paul wrote to the Roman church. He says, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. Let us use it in proportion to our faith. A faithful servant responds in two ways. A faithful servant responds wholeheartedly. They go to work. They don't wait around. They go to work. They respond wholeheartedly. And they respond with vision. They know what their outcome is going to be before they start. I'm going to become the greatest teacher for second grade imaginable. I'm going to be the most wonderful greeter in the lobby that this church has ever seen. I'm going to greet every person who comes in that door. I'm going to work with the students. I'm going to work with Dan, and I'm going to just, you know, we're going to see students come to Christ. Or I'm going to help outside with the grounds, or I'm going to start a Bible study in my neighborhood. I'm going to get to know every person on my street, and I'm going to let them know that there is a house on this street where people know how to pray. And if you ever have any need, you come to me. Whatever God gives you to do, whatever you can lay your hands on, whatever talent you have, use it for the kingdom. Go. Don't bury it. Use it. Now, there's a safe route, and it's really easy to get on that safe route. But these good servants took calculated risks. They risked failure. I don't know what the one with the 5 talents did. Maybe he started a group of, you know, a chain of convenience stores. Another one, you know, I don't know what he did, but he increased that. Maybe he bought sheep. They increase. If he's really smart, he would have bought rabbits. They increase. But they all risked failure. Something could have happened that didn't go right. Have you ever not done something because you thought, well, it might not go right? How many? I've missed good opportunities. My dad used to say, he says, man, I lost $1 million in pork bellies. And people say, oh, really? Wow, what happened? He goes, I never bought any. You know, when you there's something they call the risk-reward ratio. You take a risk in order to get a reward. Sometimes when it comes to using our talents for the kingdom, because I'm afraid I might be embarrassed. I'm afraid I might not do it as well as somebody else. I'm afraid I might fail. I'm afraid that I might make a mistake. And so we lose the reward of increase. Somebody here, and I asked the Lord to give me some words today that are specific. I think there is somebody here today who you felt at one time that you were going to start a Bible study group in your neighborhood. And you thought about it, and then you said, no, I'm not, because I might fail. And you missed that opportunity. I think God wants you to know something today. It's never too late to make that start. And that could apply to so many other things, that you didn't do it because you thought it might not work out. And God would say, just do it. There are great examples in the scriptures of people who took risks and it panned out so well. Abraham took a risk. He left his homeland, his father, and everybody behind. And God said, I'm going to send you to a country you don't even know. I'm going to turn you into a great nation. That took a risk. It took a risk for Ruth to leave Moab and to go with her mother-in-law to Israel. But there she found a husband and became a part of the messianic line. It took a risk to leave the boat and the nets behind and to follow Jesus. But Peter and Andrew and the others that were with him, they left everything behind and they became great apostles of Christ. It took a risk for the woman who's gathering some sticks and Elijah to walk up to her and say, I need you to make me some biscuits. And for her to say, I only have enough flour and oil to make a meal for my son and I, and we're going to die. And Elijah said, you surely will not die. Make it for me first. She took that investment, and she and her son ate every day. Risks that bring reward. Now, there's reward for the faithful. We already talked about it. Recognition from God, promotion and expansion, going from doing a few things to being in charge of many things. You know, God wants to bring you to a new place of growing character. And people who are using their talents are growing their character. Winners cultivate their character. They don't just let their character kind of be what it is, but they cultivate their character. The loser, showing lack of character, went off and hid. But winners, in cultivating their character, focus on God's purpose. They seek out opportunities. I'm going to have the worship team come back up. They seek out opportunities and apply themselves for what God is giving them opportunity to do. They go the extra mile. Remember Jesus talked about if somebody asks you to walk 1 mile, go 2. People who are multipliers of their talents go an extra mile. You know, this is enough to get by, but if I want another mile, think what would happen. If I would just keep going, what more could God do in my life? People do not let fear or envy, winners do not let fear or envy dictate their actions. Paul wrote to Timothy, he said this, you received a gift from God. Insert the word talent there. You received a talent from God. You received a gift from God. Now I'm reminding you to fan that gift into flames. God didn't give us a cowardly spirit, but a spirit of power, love, and good judgment. You may perceive God in one of two ways today. You may think of him as generous and kind, and you would be right. Sometimes, though, we think of him as hard and impossible to please. And I want to tell you something. You would be wrong. He wants to see you succeed. And whatever place in life that you are right now, here is the one statement I want you to hear and take with you. God today is looking for an opportunity to give you greater opportunities. He's put you in the place you are today so that you can have an opportunity to become even better, more successful for him, greater in the kingdom. He is watching your life, not in a critical sense, but in a positive one, to say, if you succeed in this, I know I can give you even greater opportunities. I want you to bow your head just for a moment. We're not going to keep bowing for long, but just for a moment, I want you to just let that truth sink in. Whatever he's placed in your life right now is there for a purpose, to give you an opportunity to do even greater things. Your life is not over, no matter your age, no matter your experience. He's looking for that opportunity to take you further. And I just want you to say right now to the Holy Spirit, I want to be the one who says yes. I want to be the one who says yes. Okay, you can look up. As I said, I was asking the Holy Spirit today, as Chris and I prayed in our hotel room, and as we've come here today, we've been asking the Holy Spirit to be specific. I would like him to speak specifically to you. What talent, what opportunities has God put in your life that as you examine them right now, you could say, hey, I see an opportunity for increase. If I would rearrange some priorities, if I would put first his plans and his purposes and his reason for giving me these gifts, what might happen? What might happen as I step up and say yes to him? You see, I believe out of a room of this size, God is looking for 100% of people who he could say, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in little things. I'm about to put you in charge of big things. We will not respond with fear. We will not respond by burying that thing and just forgetting about it. We're going to respond by standing up and saying, here I am, Lord. Use me. Use me. Increase in me. So I'd like you to stand up with me today. And I would like you to make your own personal space with God, where, first of all, you acknowledge, I have gifts. I have talents in my life. He has put a deposit in me for kingdom purposes. Every one of us have them in different proportions and in different ways and in different facets. But I have talents. And the first step is to recognize that. And we are not going to allow the pride of a worm that says, oh, I'm nothing. I couldn't do anything for God. That's not humility. That's not good. Humility says, I know it comes from God, but with God, he can do great things through it. So I want you to just shut yourself in with God for a moment. I want you to thank him for the talents he's put in your life. And you alone know what they are. So I just want you to take that moment right now and just begin to communicate that to him. Thank you for putting this talent in my life. Thank you, Lord. I could speak to others. I can be a good friend. Thank you, Lord. I can play music. Thank you, Lord. I can greet people. Thank you, Lord. I can teach kids. Thank you, Lord. I'm a good cook. Thank you, Lord. I know how to sew. Thank you, Lord, for making this deposit in my life. Thank you, Lord. And now I want you to make yourself an offering to him. I want you to lift both hands up to him. And I just want you to begin telling him, here I am, Lord. I'm offering it up to you. And I'm asking you to increase it. I want to take this one talent and make it two. I want to take these two talents and make them four. I want to take these five talents and make them 10. I want to make them more effective for you. Use me for your purposes. Let me be used in this church. Let me be used in this community. I will not go my own way, but I will go your way. Begin to lift your voice right now to him. I want you to verbalize that out loud. Lord, here I am. I'm here to be used. I'm here to be used. And as I await your return, I'm not going to be hiding my talents. I'm not going to be laying them aside. I am here to be useful for the kingdom. I thank you, Lord, that you have given me this opportunity. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Savior. Here I am. Here I am. And Lord, I lay aside all my excuses. I am not going to let fear stop me. I'm not going to let selfishness stop me. I'm not going to let other things get in the way. I want to be found doing your work so that when you come back, you will be able to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and enter into the joy of your master's happiness, a party thrown in heaven for the success that you bring in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Can we begin to praise him right now? God's about to use you in new ways. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in this body, in this church, and in every life here. We praise you and thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Roger, thank you.